We'll do it live. Fuck it.
All right, Cat Kittens, welcome to the show here at HalfGuarded.com. We are joined on the line by somebody that you have seen and then seen, Joanna Angel. Joanna, how are you?
Hi.
How are things going there?
Going okay. You know, I've got a busy month, but that's okay. Busy is good. I'd rather be too busy than have nothing to do.
What's a busy month entail?
I have to do appearances in a lot of different places, and yeah, got a lot of shit to do.
Well, what kind of places? Might as well get the plugs out of the way early, everybody. Duh.
Next week I'm going to be in Virginia, a whole bunch of different cities in Virginia, at a strip club called Headlights, and there's actually one of those dates. I'm in North Carolina. I think it's must be on the border of North Carolina and Virginia.
Are you nervous about using a bathroom in North Carolina? You don't know what's going to happen these days there.
What happened? Did I miss a news story about bathrooms in North Carolina?
No, I'm just referencing the same old shit that North Carolina's been having an issue with. And, you know, if you put on a pair of jeans and, you know, some flannel, they might think you're a dude and throw you in the men's bathroom.
Well, that's okay. I can handle myself in the men's bathroom.
Well, then.
It'll be fine.
After Virginia, what are you up to?
What?
What are you up to after Virginia? And North Carolina, maybe.
I have a store signing in Staten Island, and then I have a dance appearance in New York City, and I'm going to be at Hustler Club in Las Vegas for Halloween. And then in Los Angeles, I have a release party for Cindy Queen of Hell, my latest movie. And then also, tomorrow, actually, I'm doing like a panel at a Stockroom. They have a series called Stockroom University where they have different people come and talk about different things. So tomorrow, myself and also Kira are going to be there just answering questions and talking about sex and relationships and stuff like that. So got a lot of different things, and I'm supposed to shoot like two different movies, and I don't know. I don't have a lot of free time this month. So.
Well,
that's good.
I appreciate you taking a little bit out of your time for us here. Everybody, if you've already not done so and you've Googled Joanna Angel, I'm sorry if you're at work. It's your fault. You should have read the little blurb in advance. Joanna, to formally kick things off, explain to people, I guess, out there who don't know, how would you describe your profession?
I guess I am a adult film producer, actress, director, performer. I don't know. I call myself a porntrepreneur. I kind of just wear many hats. And my company is called Burning Angel Entertainment. Most people know us for the website, burningangel.com. I guess we were known for one of the pioneer of putting, you know, tattooed, alternative-looking girls on the map in the adult industry. I know it's very common now, but it was not very common when we first started, so.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're known for.
And you started that, back in 2002, I think it was?
What?
Did you start that back in 2002?
Yeah, I started in 2002, yes.
Jeez, because I always look at that, because we're basically the same age, and I think, God, when I was that age, I wasn't smart enough to start a really successful porn website. I was just going to successful porn websites, so.
Yeah, I wasn't really smart enough to do it either, but I guess I just figured it out as I went along. I've always been very motivated and very driven, and as soon as I kind of started this thing, I was like, all right, how do I make something cool out of this? It's been a challenge. It's always a challenge, and the challenge never ends.
And that's actually one of the, to me at least, one of the most interesting things about you. Yes, I mean, you have a very fascinating background between being raised, I would say, very Jewish in New York. You speak, I don't know if it's Hebrew or Yiddish. I'm Irish Catholic. We speak drunk.
I speak Hebrew, yes.
Oh, Hebrew. Okay, there you go. But again, you were very educated and went to Rutgers, graduated degrees, all this stuff. And flash forward, you're not just a porn star. You're the queen of, I guess what they call it, alt porn. I just thought they were like the chicks I like to see in videos. But
yeah. I guess that's just calling it alt is so weird. It means we're like different. But
I think
everyone else is different.
Yeah, like nobody. I think if you see a porn,
nobody's the norm.
if nobody has a tattoo, what are they doing? Like, what kind of porn? What kind of people are you? Like, it's Mormon porn, basically.
Yeah.
But I'll go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh no! Sorry, finish your sentence.
Oh yes, my giant long run sentence. What one of the things that I think was most interesting is that. From the beginning, it seemed that you were in control of everything you did. You were not just some starry-eyed idiot girl. Got off the bus from Indiana and California. Hey, you want to make some money? Like, you started running your own site and producing and being in control of your image and what you've done. Basically, yeah. From the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Most people wouldn't want to do that. And I wouldn't recommend most people to do that. But, you know, also, I have nothing but respect for all the female and male performers, you know, who come here and do this. I don't think that everyone is required. People are like, oh, that's great. You're not just a performer. And I think that being a performer is a very respectful profession. So I don't want to demean them by calling them just performers. It, what I do is crazy. you know, I did porn for, you know, a good 4 years before I even put a dollar in my bank account from it, you know, all the money that I made, which wasn't very much, what had to go back into it. So, not a lot of people are willing to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
And that, maybe that's crazy. I mean, I think, you know, I had a reason and a method to my madness in my head. I'm sure a lot of other people would be like, well, that's insane. Why would you like, have sex on camera for that long without even making a dime, you know?
I mean, I'm not getting paid, and I don't even do it on camera.
This is, you know, the path that I chose. And it's very challenging, and it's very scary, you know, it's very scary these days because I could lose everything I have, you know, any day.
Well, yeah, because...
piracy and all the laws and everything, it's difficult.
I was going to ask about piracy because it's a double-edged sword, I think, that as a porn star, we'll just say porn star. I don't know the correct nomenclature. I'll go with porn star. It doesn't seem too disrespectful. That the more popular you become, obviously, the more in demand you become, but therefore the more likely you are to be directly pirated, whereas your average run-of-the-mill person that nobody really knows about who's just breaking in, nobody's specifically pirating them. How much of a battle have you... especially given that you are a content controller and producer, how frustrating has that battle been dealing with piracy?
I mean, it makes it almost impossible. You know, it makes it very hard. So, yeah, it's very difficult. And there's really nothing I can do about it. And it's made the... and I get it. They have every reason to be. It's made the consumers more... really, really, really picky because, you know, every consumer knows that they can just stop paying and see everything they're seeing for free. They know that. They're not stupid. So you really have to make them happy, you know. So yeah. I have to be a lot more calculated than I used to be. You know, I used to just kind of be like, sure, let's just shoot this because I feel like it. Now I have to make sure that I'm satisfying my paying customers with every single thing that they want, which is very hard to do, because I know that all it takes is like one, you know, for the wind to blow the wrong right. way, and they're gonna be like, "Why am I paying for this?" I you know,
no,
I get it. I understand it. I understand where they're coming from. If every single restaurant in the, you know, in the state was free, and I went to the one restaurant that charged money, I would want the best damn meal I've ever eaten in my life. So I really need to give everyone the five-star experience when I'm making, you know, a quarter of the amount of money that I need to provide that. So it's very difficult. It's pretty impossible. But yeah, you just got to keep going and doing what I think is best.
What do you think has been more of a challenge for the industry? Has it been piracy, or has it been what I would say is this massive influx of amateur porn that seems to be everywhere?
Oh, no, I think it's the piracy is the biggest issue.
So you don't, like, look at, again, growing up, again, we're about the same age. To me, porn was shit you found in a bush. I don't know, it was always in a bush floating around like a piece of like an old Playboy or whatever. It wasn't like today where it's right there. Like, getting porn when I was growing up was a special occasion.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I remember one of my friends in like, I don't even, in sixth grade, he took a porn from like a penthouse. I actually remember it was a penthouse from his dad's closet. He, like, invited everyone over to, like, come and look at it, and we were all like, whoa, where did you find that? What is that? Blah! We were, like, all kind of going crazy, and it was just, like, a penthouse magazine. You know, and I remember it was, like, a real thing, like, the day you turned 18 to, like, go into a store and buy a porn, and that's just, that just doesn't exist anymore.
although, for the record, your website is not accessible to people under the age of 18. If you're under the age of 18, don't go to the website, even though you're just going to click yes anyways. But just pretend that you didn't, because I didn't do it in high school either. But I would say that the an advantage you'd probably have over a lot of other porn stars is that you do have a very specific niche. You're not just, you know, women having sex. It's people that are attracted to a certain type of woman who's not readily available elsewhere. And do you think that that's basically, you know, you developed your niche, essentially? You know, you saw an opening in a market that didn't exist, and you created it. And I would like to think that, imagine that, you know, your presence being first has really helped you solidify your place in the market, you know, at least for the meantime.
Yeah, I think it helps. I mean, also, like, I made something that was taboo in porn, like, not taboo anymore. I've made it mainstream, so we don't really have that as much anymore, you know. You could see tattooed girls having sex almost anywhere. I mean, they don't exactly package it the way we do, and nobody really has, like, as much as us, you know. Like, if you go to any other homepage of any other website now, it'll be, like, out of the 20 girls on the homepage, you know, half of them will have tattoos. I mean, on Burning Angel, it'll be like everyone. But, you know, we've had to kind of move past that, whereas it used to be like, all right, if you want a specific girl, come here. And I don't think that's enough anymore. So people have to come to us because they really like our style of filming and the humor and the, I don't know, just the whole package, more than just the style of girl. You know, that it used to be enough to just rely on, like, okay, these girls are here and you can't really see them anywhere else. And now kind of had to take that a step further and be like, all right, we're a brand, and, you know, people have to like what we produce beyond just the style of girl, you know?
No, yeah, it makes sense. And, you know, when you talk about style of girl, I basically, having been on most every side possible in porn, which is something not a lot of people can say in porn, even though they think they can. Do you think that the way that you treat, I would say the girls more than the guys, because just stereotypically guys are pigs and whatever, but the girls who work for you, any artist that works for you, do you think that you probably treat them better than they get treated at, I don't know if it's Vivid or whatever the hell the main ones are, or that bullshit.
I mean, I can't. I don't want to speak like that. That has to come from the voice. That has to come from the voice of them.
but you treat them very well.
I try. I do what I can. I mean, you know, I do everything I can do to try to make people happy. It's really hard to wear as many hats as I do, and sometimes I get a little flustered and stressed. And obviously, I click better with some people than I do with others. you know, I try to do what I can to make everyone happy and still have my vision come to life. But I don't have the amount of money that other people have. I'm sure other girls have had more fun in other people's sets because they just have bigger, more lavish, you know, locations and extra rooms that they can hang out in by themselves. I mean, if I had all the money in the world, you know, I would make things more money buys more comfort on a set.
Right.
So I think mine is just more, you know, charming. I think a lot of people feel like a very friendly vibe on my set. It's kind of family-like, like sort of dysfunctional family-like. And I think a lot of the talent, from what I see, a lot of talent, like, you know, enjoy the product that I make because it's a little more lighthearted and a little more... a lot of what I'm making is kind of marketed to, you know, people in my age demographic. I'm not marketing to, you know, 60-year-old men in Nebraska. So I think a lot of people that are, a lot of the talent really enjoys being on my set because they're like, this is so fun. I don't have to, like, pretend to be someone else. I can just be me. I don't have to, like, do some big, long, over-the-top, corny, you know, strip tease by like an Olympic sized pool. And I'm not to say that I don't think I'm better than everyone else in the industry.
It's just different.
Everyone who's been able to last, anyone who's actually turning a profit right now is obviously has talent. You know?
No, yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's the kind of vibe that I get from a lot of the people that come to set. I think they just tend to have a little more fun. I wouldn't say everyone else is, you know, making them feel like shit and I'm making them feel good. That you know, maybe that was the case in the early days of porn, but, you know, porn is pretty legit these days. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's left, you know, it has to be legit. So I don't want to, like, you know, say that. But a lot of people relate, you know, being on my set to, like, some kind of summer camp. You know, there is, like, a kind of a stereotype of girls that, you know, they come, they do porn, and they just want to leave as soon as they get home, as soon as they get their check. And on my set, people want to stay. Everybody wants to stay and hang out because they're having fun, to the point where sometimes at, like, midnight, I'm like, all right, guys, gotta go.
That's good. I was actually going to ask, do you ever just have, like, a moment when, like, you're on a set and you just stop and you look around and it's like, hey, there's a girl having sex with two men, and there's two women having sex, and you stop and go, this is my life. Where the hell did this come from?
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird to me how incredibly normal this has become to me. <You know? laughs> sometimes I just have to take a step back and be like, oh, this is pretty crazy. But
well, and also I have to ask, because I have to go behind the scenes. Is the casting couch real? I know that, like, everything you see, like the casting couch videos people do, has got to be somewhat fake, but is that part of the industry? Like, girls or people have to show up and, like, prove themselves anonymously to a weird casting director?
I mean, I don't know. There's a bunch of different casting couch websites. I kind of have my own, too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, what do you mean by real?
Like,
I mean,
like, are those girls all like, I've never done this before, I have to try out? Or is it, like, are they playing a scene? Is this part of a script? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, how real those types of videos actually are. As far as, like,
I haven't watched all of them, but I mean, if you're watching the scene, then there's not really, like, a tryout, right? Like, I don't know. Like, we have a series called "It's My First Time," and it is definitely every girl's first time. It actually won an award. It is every girl's first time who does show up to do one of those videos. Have faked, like, you know, there was a time where a girl, she was like taking there's like a bus you can take from the airport that comes, like, pretty close to where we shoot. So, mm-hmm. So I, like, brought the camera with me to pick her up from the bus station, and I wanted to document that conversation of the stuff she was asking me and how her flight was and if she was nervous. And that was all real, mm-hmm. You know, I try to get, and then there's sometimes when, obviously, that's a rare situation to get. I mean, a lot of times girls are flying in the night before.
Right.
So I have faked, like, okay, let's just pretend you're coming to the door and you're here for the first time, you know. But it's not faking it by that much. I mean, it's like reality TV show fake, where sometimes you're just like, oh, you just walked through the door. Can you walk through the door again? Because, like, that felt good. But
right.
So I don't know.
But it's not like 5-year veterans of the industry who are showing up and pretending like, I've never done this before, and there's two dicks in their ass later. You're like, huh, I don't know if the normal 18-year-old from the...
This is all arranged beforehand, but everybody does have a first scene, and everybody documents that in a different way, you know? And I guess that's what the beauty of those casting couch videos are. I don't know if people do lie about it being a girl's first scene when it's really not. That I don't know. I've always made sure to make it 100% the truth because I think, because why not? You know, like, there's enough new girls that do want to do this, so I don't need to do that. And I feel like the reality of how a girl acts her first time, you just can't fake that. I mean, people in porn aren't good enough of actors to fake that. So, you know, so I like for my first time videos to be real. So I don't know if other casting couch websites do it fake. There is a thing called a ghostie in the industry, but that is not filmed or put on camera.
What is that?
Which is a lot of companies do it. The bigger companies do it. I don't have an office, so I can't really do it. But it's not the worst idea in the world. Where basically, when a girl is new, she does go to a company's office, basically, and she just like, I don't know. People want to make sure you actually look like what you look like in the photos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like usually some kind of casting director guy, or it's mostly like the director's like assistant or whatever, where they just bring the girl into the office, they have her take her clothes off, and they'll take a look at her and take a lot of times they ask the girls to come with no makeup on or whatever, you know, they just want to see exactly what the girl looks like, and then they just pass that information along to directors. But that's probably not what you're referring to.
I'm just picturing, you know, these back rooms with these sleazy producers are discussing, being like, oh, you want to be a star? Well, you're going to have sex with me first. And then the girl's like, oh, I don't know. I'm from Nebraska.
Oh, is that a thing? I mean, I've watched some of the backroom casting couch stuff, and that's more just like, oh, it's a first time. But mm-hmm. I mean, and then there's also the Fang Bros stuff, and I don't know which is that real. what is it? I don't want to ruin anyone's fantasy, but I do know.
It's fine. I think most of the
stuff. If you're a legit porn company, I mean, you don't just find a girl on the street. It's got to be somewhat pre-planned. But look, I have no problem with people. If it's part of a male fantasy to think it's a random stranger on the street, then it's part of the director's job to go and make that happen, you know?
It's just so heartbreaking to know that you just can't pull up to a bunch of really attractive women and be like, hey, I have $20. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, let's go for it.
Right. Well, you could try it sometime and see how far you get.
Yeah, no, I they throw things at me. I wanted
don't
to
try it at home.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to ask because obviously you star, you produce, you direct, you write porn, all the what goes into writing a porn exactly? I'm really curious about that.
I mean, it's probably not that different from writing other things, but I've written like comedic shorts and stuff. I've done a couple of stuff for other people, and it's not that different. You just have to add sex in there. I mean, I went to school for writing, and all the things I learned in school are the same things, you know, you apply. You're just the most challenging part for me is
sorry, ignore,
you know,
my dog in the
budget.
Background.
So I have to keep track of like, oh, I can't have this person in the same room because they're not booked to be there on the same day, and I have to move the conversation to happen over here because I don't want to have to pay that person like extra money to come back on a different day to do this. And I don't, you know, but that's just like any independent film director making a movie. But I don't know. You have to kind of just, I write an outline and then I fill it in and I figure out what sex scenes should happen and then what should happen around them. And I don't know. I used to always plan the sex scenes first. Mm-hmm. And then I'd write the story around that. Now I actually just write the story and I see what sex scenes kind of naturally fall in there. But, you know, it's not that much different. You just have to get creative with those last, like, few sentences, you know? You have to be like, all right, now what do these two people say to get to sex? Like, there's a scene now where someone, you know, broke into someone's house and there's a burglar in there. What three magical sentences can I write so they're now fucking, you know?
Hey, you stole all my condoms. Oh, well, we better use them.
Yeah, you got to just figure it out where it's, well, you got to do what you're comfortable with. You know, fortunately, I make comedies, so I can, mm-hmm. when you're writing comedies, you have a little more leeway because you can say anything ridiculous, you know? and I don't care. I'm totally fine with, like, if I can't think of a sentence, I'll just, like, have an awkward silence and be like, so do you want to have sex now? I don't mind kind of doing like a little wink nod to the viewer as like, okay, it's a porn, so they're gonna have sex now, not because it makes any sense, just because that's what needs to happen right now, and I'm fine with doing that. But you know, I try to make it as good as possible. I want the viewer at least to be laughing with me, not laughing at me. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to write something kind of like entertaining, you know.
So in the scripting, I don't know exactly. Obviously, I don't know. Will you write like a scene saying, "All right, there's going to be two men and one woman, and they will be having sex in the scene," and that's all you write, or do you specify they will do this sex act, that sex act, or is that kind of?
No, I would say, and then they have sex, unless I really need something particular in the plot. You know, like.
Right.
I did in my big movie that I just released in Cindy Queen of Hell, the whole plot is about me getting knocked up by the devil.
Trump?
Accidentally.
What?
I go to a Halloween party and I think that I'm just having sex with someone in a devil costume, but it turns out it's the actual devil, and then 20 years later I have to tell my daughter that her dad's the devil. It's very Yeah, the family story, really. So in that movie, obviously, I had sure that in the sex scene, we did like a cream pie.
Right.
Obviously, you know. So unless there's something like specific to the plot, like I forget, what was it? I made a movie where, I don't know, during a sex scene, a girl was like having sex with someone, and during the sex scene, she was supposed to like take a few photos to use as like, use against him for something that was part of the plot, so I just wrote like, during this position, have her grab her cell phone. that is very rare though. For the most part, I'm just like, okay, and then there's sex.
So how do those sex scenes, I mean, I guess, happen? Is a director saying, do this? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of improv involved, but I imagine at a certain point the director's like, no, okay, I want double penetration, or I want oral and anal at the same time, or do they just, after a while, do you kind of know we need to hit
everybody's got their own style. I mean, I mean usually there's just guidelines you have to tell the performers, like, hey, this is where the light is, you can fuck, you know, from here to here. If you go over here, we can't see you anymore. You know, I'll usually tell the girls, like, okay, like, point your face this way, point your face this way, just so we can see everything. You know, I will tell them what style of scene I want. You know, I'm just like, you know, if I want, like, a whatever, I usually know that ahead of time. And I know how people do perform. I try to get a feel of it ahead of time. And if I know a girl, like, isn't into, like, rough sex, I'm not going to tell them to do a rough scene.
Right.
But if I know a girl is into it, then I'm just like, okay, you guys can go crazy, like, have a good time. If it's too much, I'll tell you to stop. I mean, I don't know.
No, it's good. As a follow-up, because questions and follow-ups, given that most what we see on TV with porn is not exactly how sex works, because every time I try it, I get hurt, have you ever just thought, fuck it, why don't we just do one where people just have sex for 2 minutes and then both of them just fuck around on Facebook for,
wait,
for a
while?
Wait,
what? Every time I do, I get hurt?
Oh, well, you know, when you see some of these positions where, like, people are upside down, they're doing weird angles or whatever it may be, like, I see a lot of porn where people are having sex and I think most people aren't, like, you know, roasting a woman on a spit like a pig, basically. And
Why not?
Because, I'm not that close to my male friends, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's not like
there are people who do that in real life.
I know there are. I'm just, okay. You know. Yes, I know. There are people that do things that I can't do because I'm just a sad fuck.
That's why we're here, to provide the fantasy.
I guess that's what it comes down to. Is it? Do you see it? Your goal is providing a fantasy, or have you ever, like I said, just said, why don't we do something really realistic where they just have sex for two minutes?
But realism is different to every person.
Boring, middle class, realistic. We just have sex, and then when it's over, we don't look at each other.
My sex life is not a middle class, boring reality, so I wouldn't really know how to do that.
I've got. That's. I don't know. No.
But I understand what you're meaning. There have been companies before, and I put out a movie once, and it was called True Fucking Love, and it was just real couples, and I didn't tell them anything. I said just have sex and whatever, and I didn't have them do regular porn positions, and I just told them to do whatever, and I some people liked it. I thought it was
boring.
Boring.
Yeah.
And stressful. Some people really did like it. There are websites that pride themselves on doing that. You know, it was also very hard to find couples to do that. So it wasn't a series I could continue. So if I had lots and lots of, you know, what happens is when I didn't want to continue that series, and I remember kind of putting it out there, being like, all right, I'm looking for more couples, and then all I wound up getting was couples that were like trying to get into porn, you know, and I was like, it's going to do an amateur series. I don't want it to be anyone who wants to get into porn. I want it to be people that are just, you know what I mean?
No, I completely understand. I mean, as somebody that, I like amateur porn, and there's nothing worse when you see it and you go, oh, you're just putting on a show. Like, you're not really two people having sex.
I'm kind of like all or nothing about everything I do. So it just wasn't working. I was like, this isn't like a viable thing to do. I do know there's a website where the woman who runs it really prides herself on only using couples, and she keeps saying, this is real sex. Every other porn is not real sex. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. People come here and they have sex. I don't know. Just because they're wearing makeup and they're fucking a stranger and they're doing certain positions that are more camera friendly than others, it doesn't mean it's not real sex. It's actually happening. They're not holograms, you know? And, you know, even if you do have, I perform with my boyfriend, and I know when we do things, it's not exactly the same as what we do at home. You know, I'm still trying to do stuff so that I'm thinking of the viewer, you know, I'm still trying to do stuff so the viewer, you know, there's just certain things I got to do to keep my business going. Like when me and my boyfriend have sex at home, sometimes we have sex for 5 minutes, sometimes we have sex for an hour and a half. Sometimes we have sex and stop in the middle and get a drink of water and pee. And sometimes we have sex 3 times in a night. And sometimes we don't have sex at all. You know, like, and when me and my boyfriend do have sex on camera, we do the your typical porno, you know, 25-minute, 4 different position, whatever thing. Because, and I don't know, is there something wrong with that? I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of like, I like the porn formula, and I don't feel a need to try to go around that. And I feel like every time I try, I do wind up going back to it, you know? But everybody does something different. I know there's a lesbian porn company that tells all the girls to, like, not show anything and not open up. That's what you call in porn. When you're opening your leg up so the camera sees the dick go into the vagina, you call it opening up. And I know there's companies that do specifically tell people not to open up so it looks more real. I'm just not one of those people. I don't know. I'm spending my own money on this stuff. If a girl's coming here and I'm paying her and I'm paying the guy, I want to see her vagina. Is there something wrong with that? I want to see the penis go in there. I want to make sure that the viewers who pay for it are getting to see everything they want to see. So I don't really know.
No, that makes total sense to me. I mean, I can watch Cinemax if I just want to not see penetration.
Exactly. I know. And I think the term real gets thrown around and used in ways that doesn't make any sense. It's like, oh, I want to shoot real sex. And it's like, well, what are you talking about? I just got railed in the ass for an hour. And that was real. That was really a dick in my ass.
I was going to actually kind of
face there. Just because I was wearing a bunch of makeup and doing positions that, you know, then a lot of people wouldn't do it at home, that doesn't mean it's not real, you know?
It still kind of hurt a little bit when you sat down the next day. Has there ever anything you've ever done on camera that was the first time you ever did it, excluding, I don't know, if it was like, you know, 100 people or shit, like was there anything you're like, I've never like had anal sex before?
When I had anal sex for the first time on camera, it was only the second time I had done it once. That was it. I did it once for like a couple minutes, and that was really it. And a lot of my stuff is the first. I never had sex with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I never had sex with more than one person off camera. I've never had sex with more than one person at the same time before I did porn ever.
Have you done it off camera since? If you want to talk about that, it's fine.
Really only like twice, I think, and it was okay. Just like, does it count if you're on set? But like not performing that day.
I think that counts as rehearsal. Maybe, I don't know.
What?
That's rehearsal, right?
No. Like when I was like, you know, sometimes I get really horny, and I'm just the director, and I'm not performing that day, and I just like, you know.
I'm
a crazy porn director. I'm a crazy porn director. Yeah, but I've done that before, where I'm just like really horny, and I'm not the one having sex that day, so I'll just like molest the male talent and tell them to have sex with me for a couple minutes. Is that so wrong?
You're like sitting around there directing the scene. You're like, hold on a second, you two guys, get over here. I need something. Just give me 5 minutes.
Exactly like that.
Basically, it
was. You know, there's a lot of times where I'm the one directing. I'm like, everybody's having sex with me. I'm the creepy porn director that molests people, okay? When people talk about that porn director that makes you have sex with them, it's me.
And so, are you hiring? No,
What? I mean, I don't do it every time, but I've done it before.
I was just asking if you're hiring anytime soon. But, and this is really, this made me laugh really hard. And I don't know why, but I laughed a lot when you had produced and put out a parody, and you got in trouble because it was a parody of The Walking Dead, and you got in trouble for using a white actor in the place of Glenn, who's Asian on the show and the comic book. And I don't
that
know.
That was a very uncomfortable time in my life.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make it uncomfortable. Just I thought it was funny that the idea of they're adults having sex on camera, and you're worried about the ethnic accuracy of one of the porn stars doing a parody of a comic book. It seemed really just out there to me.
I didn't know that was such a big deal, but I'm never going to do it again. And as a result, I'm not making another Walking Dead parody because I really did not like that. You know, really sucked to get called a racist. You're kind of backed up against your corner, like, no matter what you say in response, that's wrong. So all you can say is sorry. You know, like if you try to defend yourself, you're just going to look like an asshole. And I knew that. And you know, people saying they were offended. Look, to me, I never heard the term yellow face before that movie. I didn't know that was a thing, and I did not know that that offended people. And in my closed-minded brain, to me, you know, like in that movie, like I dyed my hair. I had another character, you know, wear a wig. I had different people. I turned a bunch of people into zombies. I made one character had to look like 10 years older, so we did like prosthetics on their face to look like, you know, put like some wrinkles there and stuff. We did a lot of stuff to a lot of different people to look differently. And I don't know. I made one person look kind of Asian because he was playing an Asian character. I did not know that that was offensive. You know, I knew.
Oh, no.
I knew very well that blackface is an unacceptable thing to do, so I would never do that. But I didn't know. I really didn't know.
And I think that's fine. No. And especially given that you have been a very outspoken advocate of free speech, you're not a known bigot or anything like that.
I think a lot of it, though. You know, as a result of that, I've been very much more careful about what gets posted on social media because I think, you know, the makeup artist at the time, she had a, you know, like her own kind of makeup artist Instagram page where she liked posting all of her work. And particularly with that, she was doing so much prosthetic work, like it was kind of impressive to her resume or whatever. She posted like this, like before and after of the guy Asian and not Asian, and I think it looked a lot more offensive than I feel like if people would have just saw the movie when it came out and they saw that it wouldn't have really struck home the way it did. So I think this whole, like, here he was not Asian-looking, and here he was Asian-looking, and just the way the photo was taken, really, I would never let that happen again. But I'm never going to turn someone non-Asian into Asian ever again for the rest of my life. I don't, and people ask me all the time, when's the next Walking Dead parody? And I just don't want to, because I feel like I'm going to be under scrutiny either way, and I don't really want to deal with it. You know, like, I feel like if I use a non-Asian character again, then I'll be under scrutiny, and then if you use an Asian character, then it's like, oh, are you saying all Asians look the same or something, you know?
And I'm like, no, yeah, and, you know,
I'm just like, you know what, I don't know if I just want to do this. I really did not like that, you know. I really, like, didn't mean to offend anyone. It's different when you don't care about offending people. I've definitely done things before where you don't care about people getting offended, but when it comes to race issues, that's, like, very sensitive, you know, and I just don't want that to happen again. And I really did appreciate a lot of people supporting me. They're like, these people are making a big deal out of nothing, and blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't care if really right-wing Christians get offended by my porn, but, you know.
They get offended by everything.
Having an onslaught of Asian people tell me that I am racist against Asians was it was a lot for me to deal with. And my boyfriend happens to be part Asian, so that was kind of weird, too. But, you know, I think a lot of, when I did more research on it, anyone who continuously, because I was kind of going crazy for the few days that I felt like I was being so attacked, I started just doing research about, like, a bunch of different people this kind of thing happened to, and it seems to happen to a lot of people that make comedy. Sometimes you're caught in making a comedy and you don't realize, like, what's offensive and what isn't, you know, and a lot of comedy can be kind of offensive, so I don't know. I guess I just have to be more careful. I mean, if you watch Saturday Night Live 20 years ago and you watch it now, they really push the limits.
Oh, yeah.
Way more than they do now, you know. They did. I mean, Saturday Night Live used to do blackface and stuff like that. They certainly wouldn't anymore, and I completely understand that.
I'm kind of impressed that somebody noticed the face of a guy in a porn. That's kind of a first to me. I mean, I wouldn't even... For the most part, us guys...
He was a character in the movie. I mean, this was a plot-themed movie. And I don't approve of people fast-forwarding through the plot when they're because that takes a long time.
Do you actually ever... Is there a guideline or stopwatch or whatever? You're like, all right, we've gone this many minutes without nudity. We need to get a naked body in the script.
What?
Like, is there ever a time when you're in the middle of shooting or editing and you realize, okay, we have gone 5 minutes without a sex scene. There needs to be more nudity happening. We need to edit something right now.
No, I take that into account before I shoot the movie.
Oh. Well, that's
fine. I don't care, you know? Like, I mean, there's a really, really popular scene with my boyfriend, with Nina Smallhands and Xander, and they're called the Onesie Boys, and they're like about, it's about two boys having a sleepover, and then in the sleepover, they're wearing onesies. Xander finds out that his mom is a porn star, or his stepmom, and then, you know, of course he has sex with her because it's porn. But there's literally, like, a long time where it's just the two of them in onesies, like, having a sleepover party and, like, jumping on the bed and eating popcorn and they're literally watching, or two men in the room watching porn together, because that's how they find out that his mom is a porn star, you know? And it was pretty funny when we were filming it. My camera guy is like, you do realize that it's been 8 minutes and it's two guys sitting in a room watching porn. I just want to make that known, Joanna. I was like, it's fine. It's fine. And you know what? People love it. So whatever. I don't care. I know when it's too much and when it's not. And I don't know. I just do what my gut tells me, you know?
No, I mean, obviously it's worked for you for... I don't want to say a long time. That implies that your age is older than it is.
I know, and if somebody has a problem with it, they just fast forward it anyway. But people really love that particular one. There's like A lot. I think there's like 80 or 90,000 hits on YouTube because we put the plot on there. It's really funny. It was called The Onesie Boys, or I think we usually title it My Stepmom's a Porn Star or something like that. But it's really funny, and it's literally Xander and Small Hands, like, you know, and they're just literally in onesies on the couch having like a boys sleepover where they like watch wrestling and they eat food and they like whatever, and then they start watching porn, and there's like a whole montage of them jerking off to porn. Like, I mean, you can't see their dicks. I had them do it like underneath their onesies, and it was like a time lapse of them like, you know, jerking off. And like, yeah, it's pretty. A lot of chicks liked it, but people liked it. I don't know. I think in a way where it was funny. I don't know. It made sense with the plot, you know? Couldn't have the mom sitting there because it was supposed to be a surprise. It was supposed to be the moment where he finds out his mom does porn. And I don't know. They just happened to be really, really funny at like ad-libbing, so I just let them keep going, you know?
The guys go over there. Just, no. Keep jerking off. Just trust me on this, guys. We got gold here. You know, I know this. Which, I guess, I feel like you've probably been asked it, and not probably, a billion times. Everyone asks it. If I didn't ask it, people listening who don't know you would be like, hey, you didn't ask a question. How did you get started into porn, and were you abused as a child growing up?
You're literally asking me if I was abused?
It's something that I've seen. Like, everybody wonders, well, why would a girl do porn if she wasn't abused? Well, it just seems to come up a lot. And I was,
you're lucky that the answer is no, because if I was, I'd probably be really angry at you right now. But no, the answer is no. But if a girl happened to be abused, she has a right to privacy about that.
No, and I understand that, and that's completely...
There are 4 women in the world that get abused. And some of those women are in porn. I'm not going to go out and say that no girl in porn ever got abused, because abuse happens everywhere. I mean, I was abused by my ex-boyfriend, but not by my parents.
It's the stereotype that, oh, she must have been molested by an uncle. That's why she does porn. What's wrong with her? People have this image in their head that, oh, you do porn? Must be something wrong with you. Okay, who touched you when you were 7?
Well, there's probably things wrong with me, but I don't know. Most people don't call me normal. I don't know.
And you were at...
My parents didn't abuse me. My parents also weren't totally normal, but they didn't abuse me sexually or
otherwise.
Physically.
She was not abused by her parents, everyone. Don't worry. We're not impugning her parents. They're very, from what I understand, very nice Jewish people from New York.
I think they actually like me too much. I think they should like me a little bit less.
Well, if your daughter's having sex and getting a train run on her on camera and they still love you, I don't think you're going to be able to really let them down.
No, yeah. I know. They love me. They love me too much. My boyfriend tells me that all the time. Like, they just... They love me. I do not take that for granted at all.
You're the stereotypical Jewish American princess.
I am. No, I am. I was a spoiled child, and they got me anything I wanted, and whatever it was wasn't good enough, so I don't know.
And you're in the middle of High Holy Days or so right now, aren't you?
What?
They're High Holy Days in this right now in the Jewish calendar, I think.
Yeah, I celebrate them. I had people over for Rosh Hashanah, and I did the prayers, and I ate apples and honey, and I did all that stuff. So
yeah, the only reason I know that is because my day job is I'm an attorney, and so there's always a
couple. Are you really?
I am. Funny. Yeah, I know. I try not to let that affect my life too much. But
I have a lot of attorneys.
No, I'm sorry. It's a profession that makes pornography look very chaste and very ethical. You know, it's just awful. But no, I always can tell when the Jewish holidays are coming up, because every judge will be like, oh, I'm not working that Monday. Oh, I'm not working that week. I and I always just laugh.
Well,
I'm like,
you know, my boyfriend, I mean, I'm not obviously like that. I'm not religious, but I still celebrate the Jewish holidays. And I used to just kind of be like, all right, I'm going to do this with my parents just because it's what my parents want me to do. And this past Rosh Hashanah, I didn't go back home because I was too busy. I usually try to, but, you know, I live across the country. It's kind of hard. But I was like, I was home and I was like, you know, I feel really guilty not doing anything. At first I was like, whatever, I'm not with my family. What do I give a shit? And then I was like, I feel so guilty. And I went, I bought candles and I bought apples and honey and I like downloaded the prayers on the internet and I called my mom and I asked her to remind me of you and this and that. So, you know, I celebrate like the big stuff. I don't know. I just do what makes sense to me.
No, in Catholic tradition, we call them Christers. They go to Christmas, they go to Easter, and that's it. You know, you do the big ones,
yeah,
and you get it out of the way.
You do Rosh Hashanah, you do Passover, and you do, like, Yom Kippur, and those are, like, the basics.
Yeah.
Once you, like, stop doing those, you're, like, not really part of the tribe anymore.
Well,
it's... Do you like the
on the lines of the tribe, again, you're different than a lot of other women in the industry in that you have a foundation, I think, that will keep you in the industry for a long time past your, I'll say, sell-by date, which is a horrible thing to say, but there does come...
Well, look, it happens everywhere. I mean, it happens in music, it happens...
Exactly.
I feel like women, it happens to women in Hollywood, too. And not most, like, the men actually get more respect in Hollywood as they get older.
Well,
you know, like, Jack Nicholson, but I don't know, you know, who's that really famous actress, but Meryl Streep, you know, she's been gone for a long time. She's fine.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep going for that long, you got to be better than everyone else.
Exactly. And one of the things that makes you unique, again, is because you produce and direct and do all these things. Do you keep, like, one eye open, kind of, like, looking, thinking, where's my next it girl? Do you have, like, do you look for your next it girl? Somebody that you think, that's the girl that I can build around the way that you've kind of built things around yourself so far?
I shoot a lot of girls where I know, and I just know. I'm like, oh, this girl's going to be, like, super big time. But, you know, if a girl does really well, I'll just shoot them again and again. But I don't know if I'll pick another girl to be, like, the spokesperson for my company, because that's kind of I don't quite know if I could afford that, you know. but I do, like, you know, like I mostly do the press these days that's centered around producing and directing and, you know, a lot of the legal stuff and stuff like that. When I do get an interview that comes my way that just wants to know about, like, you know, stuff that mostly pertains to performers, I'll pass it on to, you know, the girls that do well on the website, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My job is, like, kind of weird, but I've taken a step back, I think, you know, like I know people don't want to just see me all the time on the website. Like, I love performing. I would perform every month and every day of the month if it were just up to me. But, you know, like, I know that people are going to be bored of that. So I try to limit what I put myself in to let the other girls shine, because people have been looking at me naked for a really long time, and I know they don't want to see, like, 20 updates in a row where it's just me, you know?
Oh, I don't think you should sell yourself too short. In closing things up here, because you've given me way more than you ever should have for time. You should have hung up an hour ago.
It's true. You're right.
Yeah, I know. It's annoying. I'm awful, but I got two dogs that barked a little bit too much, didn't you, you little bastard? Propositions.
I hope I wasn't too snarky for you.
Oh my goodness, you couldn't even begin to approach snarky in my world. Like,
okay.
You didn't utter enough four-letter words. You didn't insult my family.
I don't do that.
Exactly. Like, and my brother does that, and we got the same mother, so I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, moving forward to close things up, Proposition 60, what is it? Why is it bad?
Okay, it's terrible. Proposition 60 is a proposition that is on the ballot in California. It is a proposition that was put on the ballot by a guy named Michael Weinstein, who is a guy that really doesn't like porn, okay?
Okay.
And he thinks that every single performer is being forced by gunpoint to, you know, make these movies and is working in very unsafe conditions. So he wants to be the hero of porn and make it the law for every single porn performer to wear condoms. And beyond just that, it's going to make everybody, every producer's information public, and there's a lot of producers that are also performers like mine. Mm-hmm. And even if a producer isn't a performer, why does their name have to be public? I mean, there's a lot of directors that have, you know, big names. Does everyone need to know where they live? You know, like a lot of right. us operate out of houses, you know, so all of our information will be public, so you can sue us at any time. It Jeez. Means we would have to get permits for every shoot. We would have to, when we do get the permit, we have to report the names of everyone we're shooting and where they live and who they are. Everything will have to be on this, like, giant public record. It will not only drain a lot of the entertainment value out of porn from just that point of view, the costs that will go into all the red tape that will have to be put around the porn, it will be impossible for a small business like myself to operate.
So anybody in California,
permitting to giving everyone some kind of, I have to like give a safety class to everyone on set. I have to get my sets, I don't know, approved by the health department. It will literally make it impossible to operate for me.
So it's a lot more than just. Performers have to wear condoms. It's way more than just
a lot
that.
More than just performers needing to wear condoms. And if someone who anyone can get sued for not following the law. So if I do make a porn without a condom, and any random person watches that porn, you can report that porn to the health department. And say, hey, I saw a porn without a condom. Oh, and you won't get rewarded with like. $20,000 or something like that's going to come out of my pocket, and it will be completely anonymous. So I don't know, let's say someone has a bad day on set or whatever, and they decide they want to make some extra. What if a girl or a guy or a cameraman or anyone wants to retire from porn or something, and they're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to call and file this report because I can make quick, easy money. I mean, how are you supposed to operate as a business knowing that anyone who watches your porn, you just have to be in California. So anyone who works for you, anyone that knows what you do, anyone who just watches your porn could call in and get a lot of money that's going to come out of my pocket for tattletaling on someone not using a condom in porn. Like, that's crazy.
So, everybody, if you're in California, vote no on Proposition 60 if you don't need a better reason than that. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Vote no if you want me to keep doing what I do.
Oh, for fuck's sake, people, vote no. My gosh.
It sucks. It's very difficult.
Are there any valid points behind Proposition 60? Setting aside the weirdo that... You just know that guy's got like a terabyte hard drive filled with weird Japanese anime porn. Like, you just know he's a freak and he doesn't want to admit it. I know you can't say it. I can say it. Whoever this dude is, he's a weirdo. He's into kinky shit. He's got a ball gag and a gimp costume that he wears every night in his closet. But
it's a really bad example for other businesses. Like, if he gets through with this, then there's going to be other people in other places that are like, you know what? I don't like bed and breakfast. I really don't. I like hotels. I don't like bed and breakfast. So I'm just going to figure out a way to put them all out of business. I'm just going to, I don't know. It will kind of show that anyone could ruin any industry if they just spend enough time and enough money. And I think that's just bad for all businesses. You know, I feel like that is like, he's basically going to make it so the only businesses that will be left in porn are the giant ones, and there's really not that many of them. I mean, and even they're going to have a whole shitload of problems, but they'll just have the money to fight it. I won't have the money to fight it, you know? He will make it impossible to follow the law and do our job. So, yeah.
No, as a counter, just to let you have a chance to answer critics or whatever, obviously, it's an industry that is, I don't want to say high risk, but probably higher risk for certain types of, you know, diseases than other industries. Obviously, if you work at, you know, a fucking car factory.
Everybody has to get tested every 14 days.
And that's what I wanted. Like, the industry seems to me, does it self-regulate? How much testing is done? How?
Yeah. Everybody has to get tested every 14 days. So, yeah.
Because and again, I just know, like,
and you know, people who work regularly are very careful. You know, I didn't used to be careful with my sex life ever since I started in porn. When you know, when I was single and hoeing around, I always used a condom because the last thing I would ever want to do is take something to work. It's just not fair, you know. I mean, even and that's a more moral standpoint. Even from a selfish standpoint, someone who does have a theme booked in a week or something, they're not going to want to do something stupid because you have to get tested before you're seen. So they're not going to want to come out positive for something and then not be able to work, you know?
Yeah, and it seems to me that, again, I'm not a hard, I don't, you know, subscribe to porn newsletters or whatever the hell they would be, but I don't recall off the top of my head there being a giant outbreak of diseases within the porn industry that would make people say, oh, well, we need to do this now because, see, everybody has AIDS. 100% of them have AIDS now. We need to save some lives. It just seemed like it was some weird guy that just said, oh, that's weird.
For the amount of people having sex in the industry and the amount of transmissions, it's almost like unreal, you know? Like, it's like, we've regulated, you know, there's a whole bunch of people having sex all the time here, and the amount of stuff that comes up positive is so small.
Oh, I mean, for fuck's sake, again, as a horrible, well, actually I'm good, but a shitty evil lawyer in Chicago, if I had that much sex, I know I'd have something by now, even using condoms. I don't know how the hell.
I'm right.
Like, holy shit.
Everyone else followed the same procedure, there'd be so much less disease in the world. Imagine if, like, you were going home with someone from a bar, and it was like, I mean, you know what, you can't work. I can't have anyone be in a scene unless I see their test. So imagine if two people were about to have sex, and it's like, excuse me, I need to see your test. Okay. You know, like imagine if that happened. Oh, there'd be a lot less mistakes in the world.
Oh, yeah. I just have to, you know, close my eyes and pray, basically, is my, yeah, that's pretty much what I do, everybody. Nah, there's no one.
Well, maybe you should go get tested more often.
I really just want to end it. Actually, that's a really good way to end things. Everybody, go get tested for sex. So, again, do the plugs. We did it at the beginning. We do it at the end. We did it throughout the show. Plug everything. Tell everybody where they can see you. And everybody, when I say you can see her, you can see her. And
yeah,
you will enjoy it because, and it's okay to enjoy it because she wants you to enjoy it, and she'll tell you why right now.
Go to burningangel.com or joannaangel.com, and you can see all the beautiful movies that I make. You can also follow me on Twitter, or on Instagram, which is at joannaangel. If you want to look on Instagram, it's a safe-for-work depiction of my life.
Boring. Yeah.
My dog, and I don't know. Whatever.
And you have, again, repeat those dates you've got in Virginia, maybe North Carolina, God. And elsewhere.
It is a lot of them. Next week, October 8th, tomorrow, I'm at Stockroom with Asa Akira doing a question and answer panel. Next week at Headlights in Virginia and in North Carolina. There's a bunch of different Headlights clubs. Just look on my Twitter or my Instagram for all the information. I'll be performing all week. And later this month, I'll be at the Hustler Club in Vegas on Halloween. And I will be at Sapphire New York on October 28th. So I've got a pretty jam-packed month.
Folks, if that doesn't entice you, then the fact that I called you folks in the year 2016, not 1953, won't. So again, Joanna, I really thank you for your time. You've been more than generous enough. Everybody vote no on Proposition 60.
Please vote no on Prop 60 if you're in California, or if you have any way of voting in California, please do.
Just fucking move there. Say you live in San Diego. Vote no, because...
And then, yeah.
Why would you want to see?
I used to vote in New Jersey for a while because it's a swing state, even though I lived in California. I know you can, it's just because my parents live there and my name is still somewhere on something. I don't know. But now it's not like that anymore. But I don't even think you need a an address in California. I think as long as you don't vote in two states, you're okay. But I think if you just use an address in California, it's okay. Don't quote me on that, but I think you can do that.
Well, as a lawyer on the show, I say, fucking go for it, because condoms and porn,
yeah,
that's going to be boring as shit. Who wants to watch a guy be like, hold on, let me take the condom off to give you the facial. Give me 5 minutes. I lost the rhythm. That's just horrible. Yeah. I don't want to see that shit.
Exactly. No, you don't.
So, again, everybody vote no on Proposition 60 to see facials and porn. Go visit all the websites. We'll have all the links up at halfguarded.com. Joanna, again, thank you for doing this. And
Thank you.
It was my pleasure, more than yours, I'm sure. And, you have a very good night then.
Okay, have a good weekend.
Okay, bye now.
All right, bye.
Aggressively, we all defend the role we play. Regrettably, times come to send you on your way. We've seen it all. Bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain. It doesn't really matter, don't you worry, it'll all work out. No, it doesn't even matter, don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about. We hope.